Awesome. All right. Good morning, church. We're going to pray before we get stuck into the word today. God, we thank you. We thank you for the families that you have blessed us with. Lord, both immediate and extended. God, we pray for the families that are broken today. God, we pray for the families that might have just started or the families that have not yet started. God, we're praying for the families that are doing great. Lord, we're praying that you today are speaking to each and every one of those situations. Lord, that you're speaking to each and every person and that, Lord, you are giving them a vision, a God-initiated, God-ordained, God-orchestrated vision for what their family can look like and should look like. And God, I pray today that you are just empowering that vision, that you are pouring out your miracle-working power on the vision for families today. In your mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Awesome. If you haven't yet guessed, it's Vision Month, or if you weren't paying attention to Emily and Kate, or Emily and Jono, it is Vision Month. So we'll recap very quickly. We did personal vision or vision for your life, and we did vision for your marriage. Now, there's a reason we did them in this order, is next week we're going to do vision for the church. Now, of course, vision for your life and your personal relationship with Jesus Christ is the most important thing in your entire life that will ever happen. Is your personal relationship with God. The second most important thing that you'll do is your marriage and that being dedicated and consecrated to God. And then the third most important thing you'll do is raise a family. And so we wanted to do that in that order, is really consecrate those areas of our lives to God and let Him set the vision for what we want to do. So today we have called it Vision for Family, but what we could have called it or nearly called it was Nothing Stronger Than Family, which I believe we have a promo for. We don't have a promo for. We've got a promo for. It's coming. The anticipation is great. There's nothing stronger than family for all the Fast and the Furious fans. Okay. Nearly called it Nothing Stronger Than Family. Anyway, memes for that might have just stopped the live stream for the copyright issues, but we'll see. Very good. Nearly there. We nearly called it that, we didn't. It's Vision for Family. Now, why is this so important? See, when Vision for Family is done well, it can honestly change the trajectory of churches, towns, countries. When the vision for a family is set, it can create a legacy that changes people's lives. There's a few families within our movement, within INC, that because of the legacy, because of the vision that was set so heavily on their hearts by God, they are generations in serving God. There's families like the Gulo family, who Chaz and Fran Gulo decided to follow God and set their vision on following God. And now their sons all follow God and lead churches and lead ministries that support the movement. There's David and Trish McDonald, who set a vision and now their sons leading churches and have led churches. There are so many great families. If you don't know, the Blackmores. Larry Blackmore, who is our accounts person here, and he's now just serving the church so wholeheartedly and still preaches at his old church. But he had such a great legacy that he handed down to his son Bronson, who he and his wife are still serving. There are such great legacies built because God gave a vision for families. But also, we can get this really wrong and the price is really high. I don't mean to embarrass anybody today because you might not have said it to me or you might have said it in the past, but there's an epidemic of parents and there's an epidemic of, fathers and mothers that lead their kids or that are raising their kids with no vision. You will have heard two statements that just are the epitome of this. I just want to make my kids happy, is the first statement. Is happiness your goal in life? Because if it is, you're going to be really, really, really shortchanged. You're going to miss that. Because nobody's ever happy all the time. Happiness is not our goal. And so that's not raising children with a vision. And the other one is I just want to give my kids what I didn't have. And again, what is possessions? We're not raising our kids to have possessions. And sure, some of that will be opportunity. But that's not raising kids with a vision in mind. That's not building our families with God's ordained vision in mind. It's really just doing cruise control. So who knows the family is complicated? Anybody? So building a vision for your family is going to be complicated, right? Okay, I'm going to ask a few questions just to show how complicated building a vision for your family can be. What happens when the good times come in your vision? What happens when the kids need discipline? What happens when the bad times come? What happens when the adults need discipline? What happens when the kids are influenced by something else? What happens when money's tight? What happens when drastic life changes occur? What happens when you're short on time or late for church? What happens when you can't control all the variables? What happens when the kids become adults? How do you manage that? What happens when puberty hits and the kids lose their minds? What happens when family members are stressed or health problems happen? What happens when there's a spider in the house and dad's not around? What happens when you get pregnant 3 months after your first baby's born? That's a personal joke for anybody that doesn't remember that. It's a long time. What happens when someone asks you to do more at church? What happens when you get a promotion or your partner is promoted? What happens when it doesn't go the way that you envisioned it? You get the point, right? It's complicated, but it's important. The stakes are high, but it's a really complex mess to try and build a vision for your family. Even families in the Bible were complicated. From the beginning, remember Cain and Abel? That's complicated. From the very beginning, family has been complicated. Moses, Abraham, Hannah, Noah, David, Solomon. See, Solomon didn't do family well, and it caused the split of the kingdom. Like, the price is so high, and it's so important. But God understands this, and he's equipped us with a ton of scripture to assist us. I'm going to read a few scriptures really quick. They're not going to be up on the board. They're not going to be up on the screen, but that's okay. You can just Google very quickly Bible verses on family and you'll find a bunch of these. Exodus 20 verse 12 says, "Honor your father and your mother that your days may be long in the land that your Lord your God is giving you." Proverbs 22:6, "Train a child up in the way that he should go. Even when he's old, he will not depart from it." 1 Timothy 5:8, "But if anyone does not provide for his relatives and especially for members of his own household, he's denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." Colossians 3:20, "Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord." 1 Timothy 3:5, "For if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church?" Remember that we talked about personal, marriage, family, and church in that order? Yep, cool. It's also the order of creation, person, marriage, family, church. Okay, cool. Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." Today I want to read an example of a complicated scenario where someone was already in a complicated scenario, but God gave vision, and it changed the trajectory not only of their personal life, not only of the life and the family that they were living, but of the whole nation of Israel, and even affects us today. We're going to read 1 Samuel chapter 1. There was a certain man from, I'm not going to read the place because I'm going to get it wrong, from the hill country in Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, son of Jeroham, son of Elihu, son of Tohu, and son of Zaph, an Ephraimite who had two wives. complicated, right? Trust me. That's not good. You don't want two wives. That's God outlawed that later. One was called Hannah and the other one Peninnah. Probably got that wrong. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none. Year after year, this man went up from this town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh, where the two sons were priests of the Lord. I can't read those. I'm going to get them wrong. Whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of meat to his wife Peninnah and all of her sons and daughters. But Hannah, he gave a double portion because he loved her. And the Lord had closed her womb. Complicated, right? Because the Lord had closed Hannah's womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. This went on year after year whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord. Her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat. And her husband Elkanah would say to her, "Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons?" Once, when they were finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting on his chair by the doorpost of the Lord's house. And in her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord. Weeping bitterly, she made a vow, saying, "Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head." Nothing wrong with razors on the head, anyway. Yeah. As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. And Eli thought she was drunk. And I don't know about you, but drunk people are usually loud, not quiet. But anyway, and he said to her, "How long are you going to stay drunk? Put away your wine." "Not so, my Lord," Hannah replied. "I'm a woman who's deeply troubled and have not been drinking wine or beer. I'm pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I've been praying here out of my grief and anguish." Eli answered, "Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him." And she said, "May your servant find favor in your eyes." Then she went away and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. Early the next morning, they arose and worshipped before the Lord and went back to their home at Ramah. Elkanah made love to his wife, and the Lord remembered her. And so in the course of time, Hannah became pregnant and gave birth to a son, and she named him Samuel, saying, "Because I asked the Lord for him." And when her husband Elkanah went up to the family to offer the annual sacrifice to the Lord and fulfill his vow, Hannah did not go. She said to her husband, "After the boy is weaned, I'll take him and present him before the Lord, and he will live there always." And Elkanah said, "Do what seems best to you. Stay here until you've weaned him, and only may the Lord make good his word." So the woman stayed at home and nursed her son until she'd weaned him. And after he was weaned, she took the boy, young as he was, along with the 3-year-old bull, an ephah and flour and skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. When the bull had been sacrificed, they brought the boy to Eli and said to him, "Pardon me, my Lord, as surely as you live, I am the woman who stood beside you praying for the Lord for a child. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life, he will be given over to the Lord." And he worshipped the Lord there. The trajectory of Samuel's life is one where he lived entirely consecrated and dedicated to God. Now, sure, he's a human. He wasn't perfect. But Samuel, so passionately and so wonderfully, serves God his whole life. And Samuel, so close with God, that God uses Samuel to usher in the kingdom of Israel. God uses Samuel to change the plan, to bring apart his plan, or to bring to fruition his plan. And today, we see Samuel in Scripture, and we see Hannah and her dedication in Scripture, and it changes us and inspires us to faith, that we too could live like Samuel, dedicated to God. That we too have this example, that we should dedicate our children to the Lord. I don't mean drop them at the door and let me raise them for you. Don't do that. Please do not do that. Raise them yourselves. Also, if they do come to me, no promises that a razor won't touch their head. So good. We're not going to go through every scripture today that could possibly answer all of your family's complicated problems. That's what discipleship is for, and that's what a connect group is for. But we are going to talk about how you build a vision for your family. So how do you do that? How do you begin to build a vision? Like Hannah, a vision that says, God, you first. Firstly, we need to remember how vision works. We need to remember, and if you were here 2 weeks ago and you heard the message about personal vision, you need to remember that a personal vision is effectively pointing in the wrong direction. And you need to have your personal vision initiated by God. It has to be God ordained. It has to be God given. It has to be God empowered. Because it's not going to be possible on your own. And vision starts at the end. It's the preferred future. It's building this picture of what God wants for you and your family to do. Personal vision, life devoted to God, is the number one priority. Out of that, you can then build a vision for your marriage. A marriage dedicated to God is your number two priority. Only within that framework can you then build a vision for your family. This is a warning. Do not set your family vision before you sort your own personal vision and your vision for your marriage. They have to be in that order. Too many families break up, statistically speaking, when the kids grow up and move out of home. Now, that's way less within the church, and that's awesome. That's just wonderful. But too many families become so about the kids that their marriages effectively fall apart when the kids become adults. Personal relationship with God, then your vision for your marriage, which has to be devoted to God, and then we build the vision for your family. And in the same way, it has to start by asking God, what is the purpose for our family? What is the purpose, not just for families in general, which is very clear in Scripture, but what is the purpose for our family? Yes, our family is going to be the foundation, the building block for communities. Absolutely. But what is the purpose for our family? What legacy do you want me to hand to my family? What spiritual legacy? What character legacy? What physical legacy? To help you along with that, I want to ask you a few questions that might start building this picture for you. These are meant to be done prayerfully. These are meant to, I'm going to pop them on the Facebook group later. These are meant to be done prayerfully. But there's some questions to ask you. Short-term vision. What do you want each day to look like? Do you want to wake up and have your 10-year-old cook you breakfast every day? Do you want to wake up and have your 12-year-old make you coffee every morning? Good job, Reeves. What do you want each day to look like? What do you want each week to look like? What do you want as your family's culture? The way that you do things and the way that you behave. What is acceptable and what's not acceptable? What time do you spend together? Holidays, you know, weekly, monthly. What time do you spend with each other, building those personal relationships? How do you discipline and direct the rod and the staff And most importantly, where is Jesus in your daily routine? Where is Jesus within your family? Is he at the center? A few medium-term questions. What do you want to build in your children? What do you want to not build in your children? What do you want the relationships to look like? Do you want them to be independent and connected? Or do you want them to be totally dependent on one another? I can give some advice there, but anyway. What spiritual, physical, and personal character traits are you building in your kids and building in yourself? What does becoming an adult look like for your kids? Too many times, we've seen this as youth pastors and seen it for our own kids, they're growing up, and there's always this struggle for parents of freedom and protection. And we're always trying, and it's so hard because every day's a little bit different. And you're always trying freedom and also to protect. But if you go too far into the protect, your kid's 32, living at home, doesn't know how to do the washing, you know. And if you go too far into the freedom, he's, you know, 12 years old, drug addict, like you know, that's extreme. But you got to be, you can't go all freedom and you can't go all protection. So what does that look like? What is the time that they become an adult and it is all freedom and it's on their own shoulders? And you go hands off. You'll still be their parent. What role does each person play in the family? Now for some long-term questions. What's the purpose of your family? Why does it exist? What are your family's values? Things that you will not compromise on. That should be Jesus. Should be the Bible. When you look back from your deathbed, what will be the most important thing? What will your kids' lives look like? What will your grandkids' lives look like? And what will your great-grandkids' lives look like? As I said, these are supposed to be done prayerfully. So firstly, you want to ask yourself, are these visions from God? Are these visions Christ-centered? Are these visions given, led, and only possible by the Holy Spirit? Then secondly, you want to ask, are there any competing visions? Are you doing anything in the short term and the medium term that will slowly build to achieve what you want in the long term? Or are you doing something in the short term or the medium term that will create what you don't want in the long term? I.e., are you protecting too much now, but you want independent children in the future? Or you want children to be able to serve God, but you're doing nothing to teach them about Jesus today? Hannah had a vision for her family, and it was complicated. Her family wasn't simple and easy and everything going right. But her vision was that any child she had was going to be consecrated to God. Any child she was to bear was to be given to God. And as a result, all of Israel was blessed. As a result, we're blessed today by having that example of Samuel. To be so close to God that whatever he says, we do. The most important part of your vision for you personally, for your marriage, and for your family must be that it is dedicated to God. After that, like, God's got to lead you. Maybe your family is called to be missionaries. Maybe your family is called to build a business. Maybe your family is called to do lots of things. And maybe your family's not right there at the moment. I know here today there's going to be broken families. There's going to be families where you had a vision for your family and it's just not working out like that today. It's okay. It's okay. Family is complicated. Family is complicated. I get it. But today, would you take that step to come back to God and say, hey, God, what do you want for my family? What do you want to build? No matter where you're at, no matter where your family members are at, you can make that decision today. Even if you don't have a family yet, you're not yet married, you don't even have a partner that you're looking to get married. Maybe you're not there. God can give you a vision. God can give you a vision. You need to be totally dedicated to Him. God, today we just pray that as we're going to take this time to worship You, this time to listen, meditate on Your Word, and throughout this week, as we take time to build this vision for our families, God, we pray that it starts with You. It starts and it ends with You. God, we surrender today any version of our own vision. Any version of our own vision that we decided, that we wanted, that we selfishly put in front of our relationship with You. God, the things that we built in our minds, Lord, we pray that that is just totally surrendered to You today. And we pray Your vision in our hearts and in our minds. And God, for those families that are broken, for those families that are distant, for those families that are going through a hard time, and it doesn't look like Your vision is possible, Lord, we know that the visions that You give, just like You gave to Nehemiah, might not seem possible, but they have to be God-empowered. And God, we pray that Your miracle-working power is more than enough. It's more than enough. The God of heaven and earth, the Creator of all things, You can do more than what we envisioned for our family. God, we pray that You do what You want to do. And we surrender our families today to You. In Your mighty name, amen.